The committee will come to order. There is a quorum present. Representative Miller, you move the April 11th minutes.
I move the April 11th minutes, Mr. Chair. To be passed, approved, I mean.
Thank you very much. Those in favor say aye. Opposed? Our minutes are approved. All right, members, today we will consider House File 2611, which is the Lessard Sams portion of this bill. We will then run through markups on the DE amendment and lay this over.
Mr. Chair, just before we get going, I was just curious what we're going to do with the water part of the bill.
What are we doing with the water part of the bill?
Are we going to hear that? Your bill has a few components. I don't know.
What we are hearing.
Are you going to hear that?
Not today.
I was just asking your plan, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. We are today. We will be going through the Lessard Sams portion.
Yes, sir.
And then there are the bill that we went through last week, the short one dealing with the OLA recommendation. Eventually today we will be combined with that, then we will take amendments. And in terms of water, I don't have anything. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So at that point you'd add in the, I'm just asking, I mean, are you going to add in the water then, and then you'll add in the arts and the art tweaks and trails tweaks?
Yes, that's the plan.
Okay, thank you.
Representative McNamara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would like it if somebody had moved my bill for possible inclusion.
Mr. Chair, may I move it, please?
Yes, Representative Lilly, you may move it. We're just laying it over.
Okay. Well, you want to make the motion to lay it over?
Yes, sir. I'd like to move that House File 2611 is, how do you want it?
Laid over for possible inclusion.
Laid over for possible, definite inclusion. Possible inclusion.
All your adjectives are just fine with me. All right. Let us begin. Representative McNamara.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. This is what's commonly referred to as the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council bill. It's the one-third of the 3/8 of 1% sales tax that's dedicated to habitat. It's my understanding, as you know, this is the only of the three appropriations that's done annually, so it's the biggest single component of what will become your legacy bill, I believe, later in today's meeting. So that's why, Mr. Chair, it's just being laid over for possible inclusion, and I think it might be part of a DE amendment that your committee will take up here later today.
That is the intent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have with me Executive Director Mark Johnson, who can walk through the bill as it was engrossed out of Environment Natural Resources Committee at whatever level. Maybe I could just touch on, Mr. Chair, there's 108,588 acres involved, a total of $100 million by activity. Let's see, and then that's divided up between Restore, about $10 million, about $26 million of Protect with PILT, and about $14 million protected without PILT payment. Those would be non-DNR. Easements, about $35 million, and then about $15 million of enhancement. I guess, Mr. Chair, if you want, Director Johnson can walk through a more thorough explanation, or we could stand for questions. I guess that would be up to you. Oh, you know, Mr. Chair, maybe I could also touch on, you do have a handout. It'd probably be good to go over the significant of what did happen. I'll walk members through how it worked here. Lassard Sams is required under statute, I believe it's to make a presentation to the legislature on a bill recommendation by, if I'm not mistaken, by January 15th. And so at their December meeting, one, they made a recommendation before the November forecast, which came out like about the 1st of December. And that recommendation from Lassard Sams in October, I believe it was at their October meeting, was based on the previous forecast. Then in November, a forecast came out that upped the availability about $3.5 million. So Lassard Sams recommended additional funding of about $3.5 million above and beyond the way House File 2611 was originally introduced. Well, then, lo and behold, come the February forecast, it went down by almost the same amount that was added back in the November forecast. So Lassard Sams made a recommendation to the legislature to reverse those additions from December in their March 11th meeting, which is how that was the recommendation from Lassard Sams from their March 11th meeting. That was adopted by the House Environment Committee with one economic change. That left a projected budget surplus of about 3%. MMB recommends a budget surplus of between 5 and 10%. So House Environment Committee upped the reserves about $4 million more. And that was a change in the, I believe it's, the project is referenced as 3B as in boy, Jack Pine Forest, Crow Wing River Watershed Habitat Acquisition. That was reduced by those $4,032,000. And where the best notes on this are, Mr. Chair, is this handout that's it's a one, about a half a page, one page handout dated 4/18/16, House Legacy and Finance Committee. And then, Mr. Chair, so those are the substance of the changes from the way House File 2611 that Representative Lilly and I introduced. One, we made those recommended changes that the council had on the four projects they had added, and then they went back to their original recommendation. And then the House Environment Committee did make that one additional change, not recommended by the council, and that was to get it into a estimated budget reserve of 7%, I believe, just a little bit north of that. That, Mr. Chair, is kind of the bill and where it is, and then I'm not sure if anybody has any questions for me. I believe the amendments, Mr. Chair, are to your bill, so I don't think they're in line with this at this point in time. And naturally, Mr. Chair, I like my bill the way it is, so I'm hopeful that the committee appreciates that.
Well, thank you, Representative McNamara. Yes, the amendments will be to the DE, the next amendment.
And Mr. Chair, after my bill's done, I've got a bill up in Transportation Committee that I serve on in this meeting now, so I won't be able to stick around so for the rest of your meeting, but I know you'll do very well.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. We'll give it a try. If anyone has, because Representative McNamara will be leaving shortly for transportation, if there is a particular question for Representative McNamara before Director Johnson does his run-through, this would be the appropriate time. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative McNamara, thank you. It's been an honor to serve on this committee with you, and you certainly know the state well, and got a really good team with Mark and his staff and others. I just want to, the one question kind of keeps kind of going back to that, for me, for the Deer project, and I just think that that wasn't part of the proposal, and I'm just a little uncomfortable with the change, and I was just curious what would happen if you wanted to achieve your goal of the 5% to 10% on the bottom line. I'm just kind of the philosophy of, you know, maybe just cutting everybody, you know, whatever that is, if it's a half a percent or a quarter percent, to achieve that goal that you want, if that's that important. I'm a little I feel a little different that the package should be, you know, respected if we can, but I don't know how you can do that unless you did like a percentage thing across the board, and that seems like the fairest way, and I don't know if you have an opinion on that, and I mean, I think your opinion's pretty clear, well, so I don't want to box you in a corner too much, but I just wish we could go back to that original council and respect the work of the team and that sort of thing. So I don't know if the Chair McNamara cares to comment or not, but that was just kind of my opinion as a co-council member.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Lilly, my feelings about your membership on the commission are the same. Thank you for the great job. You've done a great addition after we lost our good friend, Representative Dill, so thank you for serving there. What I would say is that the Deer Hunters is a first-year proposal. It is scalable. Some of that land really needs to be protected. Some of the projects really shouldn't be scalable. I think of One Marsh Lake, for instance. There's a few that need to be fully funded. You are correct that most of them, I would say, probably a majority of projects are scalable. I just thought the Deer Hunters was one where I think they could come back next year working with, it's potlatch land that's available. I think it potentially was one that was, because it being first year and getting their feet or underneath their feet. The one thing is, we did go to a 7% reserve. We didn't go, if we would have went to like an 8.5, that would have fully, there wouldn't have been any money available. You brought up the point that, well, could we go to 5 or 6%? I mean, that's a possibility. But I will remind members that what arguably was not a huge change in the budget surplus, when it went from $1.2 billion to $900 million, that made this go from 3-point-some percent to actually upside down $600,000 in the red. It would have taken the governor an allotment on that. So I think we should all take notice. As a matter of fact, the other projects had to have some callbacks and such to come out of the red. So I think there's a legitimate argument to keep them more in the 5-10% range. But where that should come from, I'm not exactly sure. And as you know, it was a tougher year, I think, than normal in the commission. It was originally an 8-4 vote and ended up being a 9-3 vote under the auspices that the Clearwater Project have a similar hunting season for Native Americans and non-Native Americans, and that's actually not legal, and neither DNR or the nation supported that. So we tried to find a solution in what works, trying to work through a real tough situation.
Thank you. Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair McNamara, I respect and agree with much of what you said. Just a couple, I'm glad you mentioned the protection, because that was on this, particularly the Deer Hunters, and maybe you're right about waiting, but I was just really afraid because much of the what's going on out in outstate is, I mean, they've got these fancy machines that can just knock down a forest basically and, you know, and turn it into potato fields. I'm not against farming, but it's just, you know, we're losing habitat and you really can't get it back for maybe ever. So I'm glad you mentioned the word protect, and this is clearly a case where we could protect some stuff, and there's some impact to the water quality up in that part of Minnesota, which, you know, I heard you mention and know better than I do. And so that's just kind of a concern. And so on that, and I think the final vote, I just kind of want to make clear, it was really pretty much one project. I think that was probably, you know, it wasn't so much this Deer Hunter that was the controversy of the tight vote. I think, in fairness, it was really one, at least my estimation, maybe I'm mismeasuring what happened at the committee, but one project kind of made the vote tighter than, more than this Deer Hunter. But there was the one that was particularly special.
Mr. Chair, I would want to be on the record of supporting what Representative Lilly said. I believe it potentially would have been a 12-0 vote if it wasn't for the one project that was controversial. I don't know the it was more of all great projects, or so many great projects, what was the best way to spend the $100 million? And the one project was controversial in who owned it, not so much the project. So it is a very, very strong commission that does really good work. Every one of those members are very strong.
Representative Kahn?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can't stop from mentioning before the committee that the only projects that we seem to ever get in problems with are problems that deal with Native American land ownership. This was the problem with Fond du Lac. The problem now with this is the White Earth, and, you know, it's hard. You know, I don't like to use negative language, I won't. Okay, I won't. But it's hard for me to see a consistent, very anti-issue on this. And I do notice that the one time when the Lasard Sams Commission had acted in this anti-Native American fashion, and when I took them on and tried to restore it, I managed to get a record of 9 columns by Dennis Anderson trashing me, which I think is a world record, which I doubt if it will ever be surpassed. And I did notice...
You make it up to 10.
Well, I meant for any other person. And I did notice that when the opposite happened, when the commission seemed to be doing a pretty good job, and the committee acts in a counter Native American manner, somehow there's no argument about it. The argument against me was that you can't touch a thing that the commission does. Now it's perfectly all right somehow, as long as it's in the opposite direction. So I will give the committee a chance to reverse this with an amendment. There is very good support for the preservation of wild rice lands, and a very good support for saying that the American Indians are part of this state, pay sales taxes, and should be logical and legal recipients of legacy funds.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. I'm sure we'll have more of that conversation when the amendment comes up. Any comments you want to make before you leave, Representative McNamara?
No, Mr. Chair, I just would like if you could lay the bill over for possible inclusion, that would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Travis.
Director Johnson.
What do you want him to do? You want me? I can stick around if he does a walkthrough. Do you want him to do a walkthrough? Okay.
Yeah, just a high-level walkthrough.
Yeah, when I do the amendment.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Mark Johnson, Executive Director for the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. Members, probably the easiest thing from a high-level view of a walkthrough is you have a handout in your packets that looks like this. It was colored. It's black and white now. On the back, yes, that's it. Oh, you all have color. Excellent. Well, many of you do. On the back of that, you want to go to the back page. And that lays out the bill as it lays out the projects as they are in the bill. And from a high-level standpoint, that's probably the easiest to go through here. First of all, the first section within the bill is the prairie section. It's subdivision 2. And that comes to, it's 11 different projects with a total of $31 million, a little over $31 million. Subdivision 3 is the forests section, which is 10 more projects. And those projects total about $20 million. You can see how they break down. And, of course, it gives you the individual descriptions of each as well as the individual amounts. Subdivision 4 is the wetlands section, which is 6 projects, totaling a little over $31 million. And subdivision 5 is the habitat section, which is 11 projects. And habitats are that mixture that isn't delineated within only one of the previous three. Habitats is 11 projects, totaling just about $32 million. And finally, subdivision 6 talks about the administrative, which is, we call it 2 projects, but it's $275,000. That's for the contract marketing as well, contract management, I'm sorry, as well as the technical evaluation panel. So that gives you a breakdown of how the bill all fits together. The Representative McNamara did an excellent job of going through the other changes that were made that have now been entailed into the first engrossment before you. And I guess from there, if there's any questions by the chair or committee, we'd be happy to stand for them.
Sorry. Anything more on that?
Mr. Chair, at your discretion, any questions you have or the committee has, we'd be glad to stand for them.
Questions from the committee? Just one quick thing for those that have, or maybe newer to this. Can you define the differences between enhance and restore?
Yes, Mr. Chair and committee members. Restore, probably the best way I can put it is, restore is taking something that basically is a very low value from a habitat standpoint or of no value and bringing it back to conditions where it is excellent. Enhancing is taking a project or a parcel where there is current habitat of probably some decent value and might be quite good, but it's making it excellent. Those are rather ambiguous descriptions, but it's kind of how the biologists look at it. It's a gradient, and restore is definitely on the top end of the gradient, taking the worst and making it good or best, and whereas enhance is taking something that's pretty darn decent and making it a lot better.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions of Director Johnson? Well then, at this point, I'm going to move to refer House File 3829 to Ways and Means. We have a DE amendment to that. The bill that we just discussed is laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. So, as I said, we have 3829 that we're moving to refer to Ways and Means. We do have the DE amendment to that. And this combines the bills, the charge stamps of 3829, and will be the bill then that we move forward. So, with that, I will move the DE amendment and be re-referred to Ways and Means. Clarify,
you're not eliminating.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Any discussion on the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to be clear, the process is a little unusual for me. So, the text of the, I could tell just looking from the first page of it, but I guess it would just be helpful just to have it on the record. The text of the DE amendment, at least as far as the Lessard Sams portion is concerned, is identical to the bill we just heard that we just laid over for possible inclusion?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's the bill that we just heard plus the bill that we did last week dealing with the OLA recommendations. So, in discussion on this, okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And now we have amendments.
Kath, could you send me a link to this on my email?
These amendments are to House File 3829, and the first couple are mine, and so I will move the A15 This is what we discussed last week. We just have to change some before and afters around because the amendment wasn't engrossed last week and deals with before or after the year 2006. Any discussion on the 815? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next is a 14, and this is one that deals with making eligible for consideration by the Arts Board the preservation and conservation of art and artifacts. Doesn't tell them that they have to put any money into this. It just makes that particular task eligible for funding. Discussion? Yes. Representative Freiberg.
You just maybe hold off on voting on it for about 30 seconds while I read it? Quick.
Right. Discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next, next one is Representative Green's amendment, A8. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Move your amendment, please.
I would like to move the A8 amendment.
A discussion. You want to explain what it does?
Well, I'll just wait for anybody to ask questions. If there's no questions, we can pass it without a discussion. No, it clarifies some language. It clarifies language that an amendment brought by Representative Fabian and it just closes up a loophole as far as county approval of land sales.
All right. Thank you, Representative Green. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just wondering if the author could explain a little bit more about the loophole and what the ramifications of this change would be.
Okay.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair and Representative, in the Environmental Committee, we put an amendment on that would require that county approval of the land sales. But in the statute, apparently, there was a way where if the land was going into for recreational purposes, they wouldn't have to follow that portion of the law. What this does is clarifies that no matter what the purchase is with the funds, they would have to get county board approval.
Representative Murphy.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. To the author, then, can you help me understand what problem we're trying to solve? Just remember that I'm a newbie to this committee and I'm not on the Environmental Committee, so if you could just give me a little bit more information so I understand what we're achieving by doing this, it would help me. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair and Representative, in the rural areas, I know that down here you don't hear it too much because you're all excited about buying land, but for us what you're doing is you're taking this land off the property tax rolls and you're also eliminating it from ever being purchased by anybody local. It will be for all practical purposes in our area gone, and so because it is property that affects our livelihood, I guess, in the way of county services and also where our people are going to live, we feel that we should have a say in whether or not it's sold. And up until now, the state can come in and just through whether the Lessard Sands Council or MCC or whatever it is, and they can just say, we want this land, looks like it's good for us, we're going to buy it and bypass the locals. When my attempt here is to say, You can propose these things, but you have to get local approval first if you're going to take this off of our tax rolls, because the rest of our taxes are going up. We've discussed different areas. In my district alone, Monona County is 25% non-taxable. Clearwater County is 37%. Beltrami is over 80%. And so we're getting a shrinking number of people paying the taxes, a shrinking number of land available to our locals to buy, or new families that might want to come in. And I would like to see that slow down.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, and to the author of the amendment. So are there a lot of examples of occasions when the state has come in and the county has expressed opposition and that has been ignored?
There are none that I have in front of me right now. I wasn't expecting this. Sorry, Mr. Chair. But yes, there are examples that we could dig up. The latest one was, although they did get the county approval in the end, which I appreciated, and after that I quit, there was overwhelming displeasure by the local people, and the DNR moved forward anyway. They held a public hearing, open house, I guess is what they held, and the people were very much against it, and they moved forward on it anyway. So.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Green. Just one comment. I'm not sure if you spend a whole lot of time in the district I represent in St. Paul. It's a lovely district. Not as much access to land to acquire as you're describing where you live, but you should come visit. And you probably would have a better appreciation for how people think about things like land acquisition rather than just assuming it. Thank you.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question here. So under the amendment, it looks like the county is essentially given approval, and if the county denies, if the county says no, then the land exchange just doesn't go through. It says that it has to follow a process set out in Part B of the statutes here. I looked up the statute that's cited. There is also a Part E, which I think under current law, Part E would apply, but under the amendment it wouldn't. It says the commissioner or the owner of the land may submit the proposed acquisition to the land exchange board if, one, the county board does not give reason for disapproval or does not approve or disapprove the acquisition within the prescribed time period, or two, the court finds that the disapproval is arbitrary and capricious or that the reasons stated for disapproval are invalid. So under current law, there's a process in place if a county doesn't approve an acquisition without stating a reason, but as I'm reading the amendment, it would get rid of that. That sort of safeguard in there to prevent against arbitrary or capricious county action. Is that, I don't know, I'm just wondering if Representative Green could comment on that or if he would agree with that assessment.
Representative Green.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm not fully understanding what you're talking about, because if you're talking about arbitrary and capricious action, I would say it would be on the part of the state and not the county. The closer the government gets to the people, the more pure that government is, and that's where we're trying to keep this.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Green. I serve on the council, and we talk about this. We talked about this quite a bit, of course. The land acquisition. I'm a little uncomfortable with your amendment. I think there was one county that I think there was perhaps a mistake up in Representative Fabian's district, and I think that elicited some, I don't know the proper word, but some passion. And I do respect that there's differences on this statewide. But I don't think it's really necessary. I've had opportunity to visit with many of the groups, and they really do make a good faith effort to talk to the counties, and I think they do get sign off on most or all. And I keep hearing about the one up in Representative Fabian that probably wasn't played out well, and I think there was lessons learned that kind of makes this maybe not necessary. But if you want to pass it, you can, of course. You have the votes. I get it. But the other option is, Mr. Chair, would this make the bill have another stop then in state gov? I'd just be curious, because it's kind of their government operations. You've got a change in I would think the chair would really want to see it and have some discussion.
Representative Lilly, I don't think any other chair wants to see this except Representative Knobloch. Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chairman, that was before, if this amendment goes on, without this amendment, there wouldn't be any need for it to go to GovOp. This is really changing a very fundamental state-local government arrangement. I would, you know, we should look at the rules about when something has to go to GovOp. I think GovOp is covered in the House rules. So it might, that,
well,
I need to
thank you, Representative Kahn. And if this goes on and if Representative Anderson were to ask for it, then we would have to...
It's not Representative Anderson.
Is it Sanders?
Yes.
Sanders, excuse
but
me.
But I thought that things going to GovOp are covered in the rules. Well, I'll certainly check that out before I say it.
Representative Lilly.
Just to kind of wrap up, so Mr. Chair and Representative Green, I just don't really think it's necessary at this time. I think lessons were really learned, and I believe everybody in the room here is paying very much attention to the passion and the concern that that your counties and your local governments around the state have. And if they didn't learn anything, they'd be making big mistakes. So I would speak against this amendment. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Lilly, and we will vote on this. If it does pass, if Representative Sanders wants to look at it, then he would.
Well, I guess I'll wait till I check out the rules. But if the rule says it has to go there, it may not matter whether he wants to look at it or not.
Right. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Passes. The next amendment before us is A7. Is there someone who wishes to offer? Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, I think this is an amendment that we shouldn't have any trouble for it. We're having serious pollinator problems, not only with bees, particularly with wild bees. And I've already tweeted one thing in defense of pollinators in the last couple of days. I always tweet the first pictures of dandelions that I see and warn people not to mow them or cut them down before they finish blooming, as they're the most reputable source of early pollinators. So I hope we'll just adopt this amendment.
Any other discussion? Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
The amendment fails.
Well, I like a division on that.
Division has been called. Those in favor, raise your hands. Those opposed?
The formidable four.
Still failed.
I think it's yours.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I just never thought this was a part of me. Sorry. My misjudgment.
The next is the A12 amendment. Is there someone who cares to offer that?
No, no. I think I'm the driver.
It's Minneapolis Park.
No. Which one? Wait a minute. Okay, great, thanks. Mr. Chairman, that's my amendment, too. This is...
Would you care to move
yes,
it?
Yes, I'd like to move the amendment, A12 amendment.
All right, Representative Kahn.
One of the problems that I've had with what we're doing, specifically when you have the governor saying that we're having a very, very big program on waters and buffers and all of these things, is we're very enthusiastic, and I join in this enthusiasm most of the time, on new programs. And we don't ever seem to spend any time to sit back and see what's working or not. When something really seems to fail, we may call for the legislative auditor may try to look at it. But this is, but for most of the things we do, we just, when we have multiple different programs going on, we don't, and so this is looking, and it doesn't, doesn't apply to this bill. It doesn't take any money away from this bill. It applies, it says that the next time we're doing I thought that's what it says. I think it's, is that the recommendations next time will try and put at least 10% into evaluation, so we're kind of seeing what's working before we go on and keep doing things again and again.
Thank you, Representative Conn. Are there any further discussion? Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just speak against this. I don't think it's appropriate to try and tie the hands of the future legislators. There's no prohibition to spending money like this, and making it a requirement is not appropriate.
Well,
Representative Conn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I guess I, before I was in the legislature, I guess I came from a field that said you ought to know what you're doing before you keep doing the same thing over and over again. So I would help that we would, I would hope that we would get some support for this amendment. And it doesn't, you know, and again, it's in statute. If, for example, they decide that it's, when you do something like this in statute before the appropriation is being made, it's really a suggestion that evaluation is a good thing. And, for example, if when the bill is written, one of the things I've learned how to do at Marco is to say, notwithstanding the language in da-da-da, we will do this. So it doesn't really bind the hands of a future legislature. It's really just a suggestion. And I thought this was more of a thinking body than to just say that we should not try and look at what we're doing before we do the same things over and over again. So I hope with the clarification that it in no way binds a future committee, I hope that we'll get some support for this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Conn. Any other discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Fails. The next amendment I have before me is A9. Is there someone who cares to move the A9 amendment?
Okay. This is the one that I've already slightly spoken about. This is the one on protecting the on the fact that this committee, the legislature, seems to have a problem whenever with looking at giving money that will be used by a tribe. There was a terrific editorial. I didn't make copies of it for all the members, but I will. I do have the link to it, so I can send it to anyone who would like it. On this issue, this was the one that was taken out, passed by the Lasard Sands Outdoor Heritage Commission, and then taken out in the Environment Committee. This is referred that when I tried to touch a word in the Lasard Sands Outdoor Heritage Commission, I got totally blasted for it. Apparently, it's okay when some guy decides to do it. But anyway, the editorial from the Star and Tribune, and I can get copies to anyone who would like it or just mail my link to it, said that it's best suited to manage the conservation project. And it's twice now Minnesota Lasard Sam Council has voted to fund a $2.2 million conservation project proposed by the state's White Earth Nation. And each time, this worthy effort has run into a buzzsaw in the GOP-controlled State House, which along with the Senate must approve the council's funding recommendation. It's a contemptible, this is not my language, that requires a remedy before this short legislative session ends. It's hard to imagine a conservation project that more closely hews to the vision of Minnesota voters when they passed the 2008 Legacy Amendment. And I will bet that my district voted, had a higher percentage of people voting for the Legacy Amendment than anyone else sitting on this committee. But it's a constitutional amendment to preserve the lakes, rivers, and habitat and promote the arts. So about $110 million a year guaranteed by it
funds the projects recommended by the Outdoor Heritage Council. And this is, let's describe the property that the White Earth Nation seeks to protect. It includes virtually untouched forests and world-class wild rice beds. The land was once part of the reservation but is now owned by Patlatch Corporation. The corporation wants to sell and the tribe wants to buy the property intact and manage it. It would be open to the public, not just tribal members, for hunting, trapping, and fishing. The tribe has a staff ready to manage the land, while the Minnesota DNR is already stretched thin in acquiring, covering newly acquired land. So it deserves support on its merit, and the time to get it done is now. And last year, the House voted to strip the project from the bill, and this year, after the council approved it again, the House committee again approved an amendment that would put the DNR instead of White Earth at the project's helm. Divisive, unnecessary. So it's shamefully clear from, this is not my language, this is the language from the Star and Tribune, from 2 years of debate at the council and in the legislature that the issue is the tribe's involvement. Calls for the state to own the land instead of the tribe, which would likely would place land into a federal trust, are nothing more than flimsy excuses to exclude White Earth. There's no requirement that the state own land purchased with legacy dollars. In fact, the council's own data show that the state owns just 63% of acquired land. So we have land owned by federal government, counties, cities, and nonprofit. And no call for state ownership when these projects went through. We only have the call for state ownership when an Indian tribe is involved. So, and the objections about the land being taken off county property tax rolls are just as dubious. The amount lost to this project, a little under $16,000, amounts to just 0.26% of Clearwater County's annual revenue from this tax. It's also important to note that tribal members, as I said before, pay sales taxes. Project opponents inaccurately have claimed that they do not. So the Potlatch will look at what happens, but Potlatch Company believes that the property belongs in the hands of White Earth. So we should, you know, usually not a group I necessarily agree with, but we should pay attention to Potlatch's conscientious leadership and approve the project with White Earth at its helm. That's all I have to say. Said much better by other people than by me.
Well, yes, Representative Kahn, you might have used stronger words. Any further discussion on this issue, on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I think I'd like a roll call on this one.
All right. A roll call has been called for. Is there any further discussion? Then we will proceed to the roll call vote. The chair votes no.
Representative Hansman.
No.
Representative Kahn.
Yes.
Representative Daniels.
No.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Green.
No.
Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Representative Miller. Representative Murphy E.
Yes.
Representative Murphy M.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson.
No.
Representative Wills.
No.
I'm thinking it failed by a vote of 7-5. Next amendment we have is the A13 amendment. Is there someone who wishes to move the A13?
What? Okay. Mr. Chairman and members, I guess this is mine also.
Representative Kahn.
This is...
Representative Kahn, would you move the amendment, please?
I'll move the amendment.
Amendment has been moved. Continue, please.
This is this specifically states that the that legacy, this is in a sense the issue of supplementing and supplanting too, but that the legacy fund should pay for costs incurred by the legislative auditor in examining activities related to the fund. And at the amount requested is then appropriated from the appropriate legacy fund to the Commissioner of Manager and Budget, who shall transfer the appropriation to the legislative auditor to recover the cost of the audit from each fund. Actually, these costs are recoverable, but what's happened is that the money has gone into the general fund instead of into the legislative, instead of back specifically to the legislative auditor. So this specifically puts the requirement into legacy, and the money gets transferred to the legislative auditor instead of into the general fund. So the legislative auditor spent it, and the legislative auditor gets it back instead of having it go to the general fund. And we had this, Mr. Chairman. I will point out that we actually did have this language in a legacy bill once. I believe it was put in unanimously at the time that we did it. And in cleaning up the bill and taking out some controversial other amendments dealing with the auditor, it was taken out by mistake. So it has once, this argument was made, it was once accepted by the whole committee, and I'm now trying to make it again.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. Any other discussion? From my standpoint, Representative Kahn, I think that this one may actually have some merit, there are also some questions about it, and I would like to see this, no matter who is in charge of this committee next year, to be brought forward. But today, because of some questions that may be out there, I think we should not vote for this. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That fails. The next one is A10.
I should have put in.
Who is moving A10?
I took that out, didn't I? This is. Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this is my amendment, and I think I'm taking it out. I can't take quite that many defeats in one day, so I'm not going to offer any more amendments at this time.
All right.
Particularly since this would benefit Representative McNamara, and I really don't think I should do anything to benefit his area at this time.
All right. Thank you, Representative Kahn. That then, if you are not offering that amendment, I see no other amendments before me today.
What?
That is the 11 amendment.
What about the 14 article?
All right.
Wait a minute. Did you incorporate A14? That was that's in the bill.
We did the.
Yeah.
Yeah, A14's been done. Okay. Again, seeing no other amendments before me. Anyone have any comments on this bill as amended? Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I know Representative McNamara had to leave, but I just kind of want to speak in favor of generally about the package. I think a very strong group of citizens that are on the council and representing a variety of interests around the state, and we're definitely blessed with a strong staff. It's pretty clear that we had a couple things that were controversial, and we tried to come up with a way to deal with, like, the White Earth controversy and still fund it. And I know the DNR had some concerns about ownership and
this kind of hybrid. We were kind of came up with kind of a funky hybrid season, which I thought was, you know, but it would have been in one spot in the state, but it would have been matching. The rest of Minnesotans would have been able to hunt and fish and gather the same pattern as the natives that are in control of the land, that the white earth, and it was kind of a, it would have been a, or would, you know, might be difficult to manage, but I thought it was kind of exciting too on the flip side of having this little hybrid season, if you will, but I don't know if that's going to work or what will happen at the end of the day. Early on when we first got going and when Representative McNamara was still here, I mentioned the deer hunter, the project that was in there, and I asked staff what it would have been, because we did, at our last council meeting, we knew that we were, that the budget was, came in lower, the forecast, so we made some cuts, and we as a group, we made that, and then if we were to achieve Representative McNamara's goal, it would be about another $1.8 million to get to 5%, or cutting all projects, if you will, across the board, literally 1.8%, because it's almost a $100 million package, so it's pretty easy math, even for someone like me, but I still needed staff help. But anyways, so it's not that much, 1.8% if we did it across the board, instead of focusing on one project, if you will, but I think generally it's a really good project, or a group of projects, and I think as Minnesotans we should really, I think as a whole, be proud of the work that's going on around the state and preserving and restoring and protecting habitat all over. And I challenge members to get around and see and get on the land and see what they're doing, because I think they'd be surprised. I've, a lot of these groups are really doing good work and are actually, you know, really, I think it's a work that we all can be proud of. I mean, that they're making Minnesota better with this legacy money. So it's really exciting. Even I'm not as much of a hunter and fisher, but it's when you actually get on and see what they're doing and the excitement and what they're able to restore, it's pretty neat stuff. So, and I know it's not without controversy, but thank you. I think it's encourage some folks to remember to vote for it, I think.
Well, thank you, Representative Lilly, and thank you for your work on the council. Any other discussion? Anyone from the public who wishes to make any comments? Well then, seeing none, I will re-refer that House File 3829 as amended go to Ways and Means. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
It passes. I'll just allude into or directly respond into, I guess, what a question Representative Lilly had earlier about the water portion. I think I got some clarification. He was talking about the shortfall that we had because of the projections of our monies not quite being what we expected them to be. I will just say that at this point, the Minnesota Management and Budget Plan has been implemented. We can still make some adjustments if we wish, but that's where we are at present. And the water portion was dealt with through cancellations. So monies that were not being spent were canceled and took care of the deficit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else before us today? Seeing nothing? Well, King, this case is closed.